everybody. Here we go. Another episode of Cal Banyans. That's me. Hypnosis, etc. with Celeste Hackett. Say hello, Celeste.
Hello, Cal. And you know what?
What?
I went to Simpsonize Me. Is that what it is, honey? He's in the other room. Yeah. And I took your picture, that very nice picture of you on the NGH's magazine, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I put it into the Simpsons website. And look at this picture. It's you as a Simpson.
No, that's not fair because I can't see it.
Ah, but you will, honey. And this is your full body shot now that you've lost weight.
Oh, geez. Does it have like big biceps on it?
Well, you'll just have to wait till you get this. But everybody else can see it.
This doesn't sound fair to me. Oh, well. Okay, well, see what I can come up with for you next time. A little surprise something. Okay. Let's see what we've been doing here. I'd like to start off a little bit of just stuff. I'll tell you, I did something very fun this morning. That one of my favorite things to do in the morning is I tried on another pair of pants from the past and that I would normally wear to work, and a pair of slacks, and I had to, I got to be careful saying pants because in the UK that's a bad word. It's the same as, well, I don't want to say it. So my trousers, and they were too big, and so I got to fold them up and throw them on the floor in a little stack of where I put clothes are too big, because if you guys have been watching, you know that I've lost some weight and I'm feeling great and I'm looking forward to continuing. I'd like to lose maybe another 15, 20 pounds before World Hypnotism Day. What's going on with you, Celeste?
Well, Cal, you know, I've been working with some very interesting cases. I have yet another case of someone whose husband has cheated on her. Cal, I'm just getting a lot of these. And it's something that I really like working on. And just different sorts of things are coming through the office. And so I'm just still very busy with clients and still putting together my classes. That I'll be doing. I'll be teaching Five Paths and Seventh Path, the only Five Path, Seventh Path teacher in Dallas, Texas, I think in the southern United States right now. And I'm also going to, when I teach these classes, the people who come to my classes will get NGH certified. So putting all that together, you know, wrapping things up with students who are going to be joining me in September. I have a class starting in September and one in November.
Wow, you've been busy.
Yeah.
Hey, let's see, to give them your website.
Oh, my website is familyfirsthypnosis.com, and that's first spelled out F-I-R-S-T. And I also have a blog at familyfirsthypnosis.rspace.com. And I think if you're a hypnotist, you should get one too, because it's absolutely free, and there's a whole lot of free stuff there for hypnotists. You can get a website, or you can make it into a blog, your little space that you have. It's kind of like MySpace, and it's a place where you can host videos. I got a video tour of my home office here in Dallas, Texas you can look at, and you can put photos up, and there's all kinds of groups that you can join, and some of the groups are getting really good. I got kicked out of one.
How'd you get kicked out of one?
You kicked me out.
Oh, I kicked you out. That's right. That's because I have a group on ourhypnospace.com called The Fit Hypnotist, and it's really where hypnotists help other hypnotists lose weight who themselves have lost weight using hypnosis. And I told Celeste that she's never been fat enough to qualify to be on that group, so I kicked her out. I'm tough. I'm tough, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. Me and Tom Nicole are going to get together and do something about this, Cal.
Tell them what it's like going through class with me. I'm tough.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Anyway, but there, you know, people should go check that out, because the thing is growing. It's great for networking. There's one group that's pretty new that is links, and it's all kinds of hypnosis links, and you can share any link that you want. And then there's another group that's all kinds of hypnosis training that's available out there. I just think it's the greatest thing for hypnotists. So if you're a hypnotist and you haven't joined it, you're being left behind. You need to get in there and get yourself a little blog going.
Geez, you're right on top of things. That's brand new. That just, I think I just put that up today.
I love that idea. That's a great idea.
Thank you, thank you. Speaking of websites, got a new website, mentioned that before, hypnosis.org. I really want to make it the dream website. If any of you guys out there have suggestions on what would make the very best possible website as a resource for everybody, let me know. My email address is calbanyan at hypnosiscenter.com. All right, enough chit-chat. What do you think? Should we get started with the next part?
Yeah, it's time to ask you some questions. We're going to put Cal Banyan in the hot seat. I don't think you ever have really felt like you've been in the hot seat yet. You've been doing so well, though. Have you felt scared or nervous yet by these questions, Cal?
Celeste, I'm always scared and nervous when I talk to you.
Well, okay. All right, let's start with this one, Cal. Okay. This is a real easy question, I think, and it's a question that a lot of hypnotists and hypnotherapists, when they're first starting out, they just want to know about. And the question is, how do you get referrals from doctors?
Ah, I love that stuff. I like everything, all these good questions about how to build your business and stuff like that. How do you get referrals from doctors? Gosh, you just ask for them. And what you got to do is it started off when I worked in an environment in Minnesota where you really had to. And then the laws changed, and thanks to the National Health Freedom Coalition, we don't always have to get those referrals anymore. But I think it's a good idea that you do whenever you're dealing with a medical or psychological issue. It's better to be on the safe side. And besides, when you start getting referrals, you're really educating doctors that you're there and you can do the work. So when someone comes in with a diagnosis, they'll say, I have chronic pain, or I have a fear, or I have depression, or these number of different things. Even if I have a rash, anything that a hypnotist can help someone with that is of a medical or psychological nature that they're not licensed and trained to work with, by themselves being a medical doctor, medical professional, or psychologist, then what you need to do is get that referral. And a shortcut is, in our business startup pack, we have a whole bunch of forms in there, but let me just give you kind of a rundown what you want to do. You want to get, first of all, don't trust the client to get the referral to you. You want to say, it basically goes like this. The client says, I have a phobia or I have pain. And you'll say, has that been diagnosed by a physician or psychologist? They'll say yes. You say, wonderful. This is what we need to do next. We need to get a referral from the doctor. Don't worry, we do it all the time, and I know exactly what to do. Just give me your doctor's contact information, and we will get a hold of the doctor and get the referral. And so then on a letter that we will fax or send to the physician, you do not let your client carry this letter. Sometimes they'll try to save a little money, and because a doctor might ask for a doctor's visit, and you know, not everybody's as honest as you and me, and they might just scribble something on there and say, that's my doctor's signature. So you really want to make sure you're in contact with a doctor or a psychologist or whoever you need the referral from. And so you will send the letter. In the letter, it basically needs to say, hello, your patient so-and-so has come to our office requesting hypnosis services for such-and-such, whatever they're coming for. And we normally ask for a referral from the physician to make sure that the hypnotic work will not interfere with the course of treatment you have planned for this patient. And then a little special thing that we do on our form that we send out is we have a series of diagnostic codes at the bottom. It really, when you speak the medical language, sometimes you have more respect from the medical profession. And it says, by the way, you can also refer them for, we have the medical diagnostic code down there for things like nicotine addiction and for being overweight and all this kind of stuff. We had a nurse that worked for us for a while, and she put those codes down. And now, what happens? We'll send someone out for a referral for like chronic pain, and we're going to work with that. And the doctor says, "Oh gosh, I'd also like you to quit smoking, and I'd also like you to lose some pounds." And they'll check off some other things on a referral letter. And now, gosh, the doctor has prescribed that you see me for these issues here. So it's really good to get those doctor's referrals, send them a letter, make sure you refer to the client or your potential client as the doctor's patient, treat them with respect, and then what happens? What you want to do is, here's a really cool thing that you can do. after you've met with the client, you've received the referral, ask that client, is it okay if I follow up with you 3 weeks, a month after we've completed the work we're doing together, and then send a report to your doctor on how well you're doing. And I say it's just a service that we offer to our clients. Would you like that? And they say yes, and they're going to have to sign a little release of information form. And then we send that information off to the doctor and say, by the way, as a professional courtesy, we'd like to let you know that your patient, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, came to our center for pain management and has now reported 3 weeks later such and such reduction in pain, or that your patient has come to our center and now reports being free of cigarettes for 1 month, this kind of thing. And guess what? There's a whole lot of really frustrated professionals out there, doctors and psychologists, that would love to have a referral source like you for these frustrating clients that nothing that they've done has really helped them. How's that, Celeste?
Yeah, that's right. You know, and it's really easy to get doctors to respond to you. When I first sent a letter, I was sort of scared, you know. But they're looking for answers for some of these clients of theirs, some of their patients that aren't getting any help. And I have had not a single doctor or psychologist or psychiatrist turn down the opportunity to refer their client to me. And that was just really an eye-opener for me when I first started working as a hypnotist, that I was going to get some respect from these guys with all these degrees and certificates.
You know, I'd like to kind of put a plug in here for the NGH. The NGH offers its members something that's really important that I think when you're dealing with doctors and psychologists, they'll recognize as something significant. And that is you want to get board certified. And I think this is something that everyone in the profession, if you're not already certified through the NGH, get certified through the NGH. Of course, I offer my course, but however you do it. And then after you have some time in the profession, contact the NGH and see about board certification. Because when you're dealing with a psychologist or a doctor and they see board certified National Guild of Hypnotists, you're speaking their language. They understand board certification, and it's a credential that will make sense to them. So whenever you're working with those kind of professionals, it can help. It can help a lot. Okay, Celeste, I think we got to leave that question behind, and you promised them we'd get on to a tougher question this time.
It's not just a tough question. It's a question that's very interesting. Let me just read the question to you, Cal, and of course you'll take it from there. Okay, hi, this hypnotist says, I had a client recently that, when regressed, went back to the womb and revivified a time when her mother was trying to play doctor and abort her. My client was terrified of the medical instrument coming at her, coming to get her. And she went through at least 20 times where she abreacted badly as I kept taking her through the event with crying and shaking. And she would not accept, after going through these times over and over again, this was the ISE, she would not accept that she wasn't going to die, even though I really put pressure on grown-up to give that message, and I thought grown-up did a very good job. Also, before the event, I checked again and again, and she was safe and secure and lovable, etc., every time. She also looped back to this new feeling when I tried to regress further. I have three questions about this. One, can this sort of strong abreaction happen over and over again if it is an ISE? And two, well, you want to answer that one first?
Yeah, let me just take let me give that one a try. Okay, so one of the things is, when we are validating an ISC, one of the things we ask is that feeling familiar and new. But that's not reliable. A lot of times they'll say it is new when it's not. One of the other probably advanced insider tips, tricks, and techniques for establishing an ISC is the client willing to accept the suggestions and insights provided before the ISE. So let me clarify some terms and tell everybody where we're at, because not everybody watching this maybe has had age regression training. So what ISE, initial sensitizing event, that means where it started. Revivification, that means to relive the event. Okay, so here's an individual, they believe they've found the ISE, and the person is resisting the informed child. That's where we tell the child what he or she needs to know so she can get through the ISE without being negatively affected by it. So if the client is being resistant to what the adult is saying, you know, and what's the adult saying? The adult's saying, look here, little one, I'm alive. I am you. You live through it. If the child is resistant to believing that, no matter what else has gone on, you are not before the ISE. And so I would go back further, and I would probably regress on this. Now, here's probably something you haven't heard before. I would regress on the resistance to accept the information from the adult that they live. So that there's this part of them that doesn't believe it. And I'd say, okay, little one, there you are. There's a party that just doesn't believe this. I can't believe I lived through this. I can't believe I lived through this. Focus on that idea. What are we doing now? We're not doing affect bridge. We're doing a cognitive bridge. And so we follow that back to an earlier time when they thought that, and when we get back there, we ask the famous five, the fantastic five questions. What's happening? What does it make you think? Or what are you thinking? How do you feel about that? Or what does that make you feel? And is it familiar, new? And how old are you? Now, what's important here is, what are you thinking? Because that's going to let you know what they're feeling. And what they're feeling is the most important part, because that is, emotions are pure energy, and it is that emotion that is blocking the ability for that regressed client to accept the insight. And the vast majority of the times, it's fear. And so no matter what, you've got to go back further. And you go back further, and as far as you need to, until we can get to that earliest fear. Go before that, and by golly, then they will accept it. If they don't, then I'll tell you what I believe is happening, and that is that you don't have a true age regression going on. What you have is something more akin to someone just playing along and pretending to be an age regression. And when that happens, you get too much interference from grown up, and that fear then can be projected on the child, and what you really is a backwash of fear. You have the fear in the grown up going back into the childhood that they're imagining instead of revivifying, and then that's blocking it. So what you might want to do is do a little covert depth testing right there, make sure that they're deep enough, and then proceed. How's that, Celeste?
Wow, that is a real goodie. That is something I haven't heard you say before, Cal.
I got a million of them.
You really do. Regress on the resistance to accept the information that they live, right?
Right.
Very cool. Very cool. And then a second part of her question, I don't really know if these other two parts apply now, but just in case they do, I'm just going to read them.
Okay.
I encouraged her to let it out, the hypnotist says. I think we did a very good job with informed child, but she kept up with the strong ab reactions over and over again the whole session. And, well, you did answer the question. Is there anything else I could have done? I should have read ahead here. Sorry. Okay, let's move into number three. Lastly, yeah, that sounds good. How do you end up this kind of session? I think this is a pretty good question. When they are very, very emotional to the very last minute and the time is up.
So if I'm understanding right, so the client is very emotional. This is very important, and that is, if the client needs more time, the one in your office has priority over the one in the waiting room. And you want to make sure that you end an age regression session in such a way that the client has experienced an insight or a release of emotion and some kind of shift has happened. If you leave them feeling worse than when they came in, then you'll have an experience called the disappearing client, and they won't come back. And because in their mind, you made it worse, which you probably didn't make it worse. They will be better because of the release and whatever the insights. But what you want to do is take the time necessary to really let them release. Human emotions, when fully released, just don't last very long. I mean, just be the cheerleader and say, let it out, let it out, let it out, and really let it out. It's rare, very, very rare, that it goes longer than 10 or 15 or 20 minutes of just release. Now, if it does, you praise them for what you've got, and then tell them, you're going to do the segue again. You heard me talk about this in an earlier episode. The segue is where you talk about, okay, you've had this insight, or you've had this emotional release. And if the emotional release has only been partial, then what we want to do is we will say, to the degree that you've got that out of your system today, you are going to experience an improvement, and your ability to accept these suggestions are empowered. And then you move into the suggestions for what they came in for. Now, while you've got to watch the clock, we're always having to manage the time that we have for each session. So as you then move from the insight and emotional work that you've done with the client into the segue, again, saying you've done this, you've accomplished this, now you'll be able to accept these suggestions, and then you want to spend at least 5 minutes or so doing the direct suggestion work for what they came in for. And while you're doing that, what you're doing is you're giving them some recovery time from the emotions. And then you praise them for what they've done, and you tell them that because they were courageous enough to do what they do, they're going to experience success like they never have before. And so during that direct suggestion time, they have the recovery time for the emotions to kind of wind down. Then the next session, boy, you got to go in and get them to finish that. Let me give you an example from one of my case files, and that is I was doing work with a client who had just had a father. Her father in her life was just never at all loving, and from our client's perspective, really did not keep his end of the deal as far as being a father. And because he wasn't really there for her, she wound up being abused in many different ways by several different people in her life. And there was just an incredible amount of anger. And when we were doing the forgiveness work, which is phase 3 of 5-PATH, but really anytime you're doing this forgiveness work, there's a point in there where I have them express the feeling. And just like someone might do in Gestalt therapy, you have them express how they felt to the offender, who they are. Hallucinating in the hypnosis. They'll say, you hurt me when, you made me feel, and so on. And we have them beat into a pillow to get that release of emotion so that we can get on to the insight work. I had one client who we immediately, you know, when we were ready to do this work, she was very easy to hypnotize. In 3 minutes, we had her hypnotized, and we had her into the environment that we call the round room in the session, and she did we said, okay, tell him you hurt me when, you made me feel, you made me think, because of you this happened, and she started hitting on that pillow, my recliner, one hand, two hands, and she's hitting so hard that all of a sudden, it was amazing, she slides out of the chair, goes onto the floor, all fours, beating on the pillow. And guess what? She beat on that pillow for a long time, and I ran out of time and I needed to wrap it up. And so we put her back into the chair, told her that to the degree she got that out, she's going to be able to experience more success, and the things that she came in for, gave her suggestions. Next session, we went right back into that environment where we do the forgiveness. she started beating on that pillow again. She spent that session once again beating on the pillow, letting out that emotion, and out of the chair, onto the floor, on all fours, wailing on that pillow. And then when I come towards the time, put her back in the chair and tell her, you know, congratulate her on getting that out, and to the degree she got it out in this session, she's going to be able to experience this success. And then the next session, she only spent about 10 minutes beating on the pillow, and finally she had released enough of that anger to where we could get on to the insight work that really needs to be done, which I call the 10 keys to forgiveness, where we really give the individual the insight so that they can forgive. So let them express the emotion. You got to watch the clock. The person in your chair is more important than the one in the waiting room. Usually another 15 minutes, a good segue, direct suggestion. You can wrap it up. They'll come back, and if necessary, just take up where you left off, Celeste.
Wow, that's a wonderful case history there, and fascinating. This has been a really good show, a lot of interesting stuff, and you know, you gave us some new things that we haven't heard before. Some of these techniques are very advanced that you talked about.
You know, I'm really enjoy having the chance to do this. I haven't really had the opportunity to get into this depth since I created the Banyan Online Supervision CDs, where, gosh, I can just spend a whole hour and a half on a topic, and those have really been an incredible help to our graduates.
Yeah, and you know, that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep bringing some of this wonderful wisdom that you have to these, I guess we're calling them podcasts, these video shows, these episodes of Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. And I guess it's about time to wrap it up, Cal. Is there any last thing you want to say?
Hey, I'm so happy to be doing this. I look forward to doing this for a long, long time. And Celeste, I'm so excited to have you as part of this. I'm sure everybody gets tired of looking at me in front of the camera, and now they've got you. And I know that as we move through this, I'm going to start calling on you more and more, because I know that you're a wealth of information too. So it's just going to get better and better. Thanks a lot, Celeste.
Thank you, Cal. And I guess that wraps up today's episode of Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. I'm Celeste Hackett, coming to you from Dallas, Texas.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.